Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We just got a couple of reallys from John Fricke as he and Wendy in the morning show exit the Kia studios. And Rick and John are taking over, baby. All right, we got Mark Owens. We got the Preacher Man. And a big shout-out yesterday to the guys at Academy Sports and Outdoors in Kennesaw. We had a blast. Everybody was awesome. The people that came out to meet us, all of you in your cars listening, and, of course, the great people running the show out there. That was really, really fun. It was one heck of a commute for me to get out there from Snellville on the opposite end of the sundial, as it were. But God bless those peeps, man. That was really, really fun. And we are back in the Kia Studios here in Midtown, high above Peachtree. What's up, John?
What's going on, Rick? I would love to go back out to Academy Sports and Outdoors. I didn't realize, you know, it's amazing. We do this job, and sometimes we get caught in the fish tank of being in the Kia Studios, and we go about our own lives. We go home to our kids and our wives and whatever we have to do afterwards. And then you realize there are a lot of people out there that actually listen to us. I was blown away the amount of folks that were just hanging around, stopping by. You know, guys would come through like, hey, I'm doing deliveries in this area. I heard you guys were going to be here. I just want to come say hello. And literally stop in, shake our hands, and leave. Really cool yesterday. The folks at Academy Sports and Outdoors, Cody, the manager out there, his whole crew, really nice, really great. Paul, did you end up buying ammunition before you left?
I did not. I did not. We got sidetracked, and you and I walked out together,
that
so
is
you
true.
Know I didn't walk it.
You stopped me from shopping. I wanted to buy those black Nike shorts with the lime green down the side. They only had small and medium, and I didn't want spandex. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The show got in the way of your shopping.
They did.
Back there.
I was back there shopping at Paul's yard. Come take a picture. No, dude, I'm trying to, you know, pick up a pair of shorts.
You know who else listens to the show?
Who's that?
And I didn't know this until yesterday. Austin Hooper, tight end of our Falcons.
Oh, really?
I didn't know. There's a headline here yesterday, Mom McClure. Falcons Austin Hooper focused on helping Matt Ryan, not fighting critics. Well, I guess that'd be me. That'd be your boy here in the Kia Studios. I don't believe anybody's been tougher media-wise on Austin Hooper about midseason to now. To wit, he said, quote, "That's the world we live in. Throughout the whole season, I made four bad plays, but that's the four plays everybody thinks of. I had two drops on the year, but all of a sudden I have the worst hands. You know what I mean? But it is what it is, man. I can't worry about it." Well, Austin, it sure sounds like you're worried about it, and it sure sounds like that you need some thicker skin because you are letting the critics seep in. And, John, I had to check the official stat. Mm-hmm. Three drops for Austin Hooper.
Okay.
According to Stats Inc., not two, but three.
Yeah. Well,
and it was more by my unofficial count.
Yeah, I remembered two right off the top of my head. He dropped the ball in the end zone against the Jets that would have been a touchdown. He had the ball ricochet off his back shoulder and got intercepted to end the Dolphins game. Now, those might be two of the four plays that he's talking about. But, yeah, we do remember those. One directly cost us a football game. You catch that ball against Miami or at least drop it and it goes straight to the ground. You kick a field goal and you go to overtime and you have a chance to win. But neither here nor there. We're going to be happy today.
Oh, it's all good, but I had to take an early shot.
There's nothing wrong with taking
an early shot.
You were taking a few shots last night on Twitter. You know, sometimes you got to swing for the fences and, you know, you got talked to and whatever.
Well, no. I'm not in trouble. It's not, anything at all. Here's the deal. When people put nonsense and falsehoods and incorrect stuff out on Twitter, I like to take them deep. I actually find it fascinating. And then you get the response and you chuckle and cooler heads prevail. Mark Owens and Paul Bible here in the Kia Studios with your boys Rick and John. M.O., good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, buddy. What's happening? Good to see you guys.
You're feeling good. Did you have a full meal yet?
No.
Haven't eaten everything?
Did you see the picture I posted?
With all the condiments.
Yeah, we went to Stockyards last night. Our discussion about the best condiments and Mount Rushmore condiments. Hit up Stockyard. They have dipping sauces for their fries and their burgers. And I got about half deep into that, and then my stomach said, hey, Tiger, slow down a little bit. I'm about to ruin your night. So you can enjoy this if you want to, but you're going to pay for it in about an hour. So
now we do have a Colony Square bathroom update.
Now, it's time for a Colony Square bathroom update. Day 103.
That is about right. Day 103. Here's the update. Paul and I were walking back, and Paul goes, hey, Grant told us the bathroom is almost done. The only thing missing right now is the sinks, the countertops, the mirrors, and all the hardware that goes along with the urinal.
That's
I said,
it?
Well, that's not almost done. That means they've done like 5% more work than
they had
in the past.
Well, for our normal contract, it'd be almost done because everything that we just rattled off could be done in a day.
Could be done in a couple of hours.
I'd give them a full 8 hours.
Well, yeah, and again, that's contract.
Because, you know, you got to stop for lunch. You got your regulated breaks.
Sure, you
got to
make a couple of phone calls.
Yeah, you know, you got a video game to play at some point.
I do have to play golf class here at some point. Love golf class.
Had they hired Charity's dad, it'd already be done. If they would have hired Charity's dad.
They could have hired the four of us, and it would have been
done. It'd already be done.
Hey, Rick, we've now known that you can do some manual labor. You painted decks. You've built a deck.
Uh-huh.
You could have been in there, you know, grouting some tile.
Could have been.
Sanding some granite. Now, could you get like the little circular saw and saw out that middle area where the sink just plops right down into it?
Nope, you lost me at saw. I'm worried about losing digits and all that. And by the way, John, these talents don't come cheap. So, you know, they came at me with a monetary. It just wasn't enough. So I couldn't help with the bathroom project.
Okay.
I priced myself out of that.
Okay.
Out of that gig. Did they come to you?
Hell no.
Come on, man.
The only saw I used was to saw pieces off the bed. And that was liberating to get the saw and go, yeah, and wood was flying everywhere. But no, I'm not messing with granite. That's like a real saw.
Don't forget about the Velcro you had to use to put it
back
together.
I did use Velcro. Dude, those Velcro strips, I'm Velcroing everything in my house. I said, you know what? This DirecTV box, I'm tired of it being shown. So I Velcroed it to the back of the TV.
What does Velcro sound like, John?
Preacher man, save us.
That's what's up.
The f*** is going on!
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Well, we'll start with the Atlanta Falcons. News broke literally as soon as we got in the car yesterday that Michael Bennett had been traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. The rich get richer. They give up a fifth-round pick and a receiver to some guy that I've never heard
Marcus
of.
Marcus Johnson,
sure.
John.
Sure.
I've never heard of him either.
I know Marcus Johnson from USC, the former basketball player. I'm not really familiar with Marcus Johnson, the wide receiver. In return, they get Michael Bennett and a seventh-round pick from Seattle. Falcon fans up in arms yesterday going, why not us? There's reports that New England actually offered more for Michael Bennett. I don't know how true those are, but they decided to trade him to Philadelphia. It seems like a perfect fit for the world champions. You go get another guy that's versatile, that can rush the passer, that can do some things on a very stout defensive line. The rich do get richer in this. Now, obviously, there was a huge contract attached to it. That could have been part of the deterrent that stopped the Falcons from making the trade for Michael Bennett. But either way, he is not a member of the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, so I've got a Twitter poll up right now at NBA TV. Rick, Falcons fans, how are you feeling about Michael Bennett going to Philly instead of Atlanta? 62%, John, are saying trusting TD and DQ.
Okay.
22% are angry, and 16% are happy. So that's a good look for TD and DQ on my Twitter account right now, almost 200 votes.
It's funny you say that. I have a four-prong poll up right now. It kind of asks the same question, wording a little bit different. What's your level of disappointment that Michael Bennett is not a Falcon? None at all. It hurts a little. Ugh, why not us? Season's over. We suck. 53% say none at all. Not hurt, don't care, no disappointment. It hurts a little at 28%. Ugh, why not us at 16%? Only 3% say the season's over, we suck.
Here's the thing, like Michael Bennett here would have been a good thing. We'd have been on board with it. He has one double-digit sack season in his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
One. So to the people who are shrugging it off and going with the flow, they probably are right. The people that are in their feelings and butthurt and mad at Falcons management that we didn't swing the trade are probably wrong right now. And, John, if we don't trade for Sombrilo and we have that fifth-round pick, you just wonder if maybe Michael Bennett is a Falcon right now. And I'm not going back and trying to be a revisionist, you know, historian, but that probably did preclude us from getting Michael Bennett.
Time now for a little money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Lamb, L-A-M-B. Jeremy Lamb was a good college basketball player.
Jake Lamb of the Diamondbacks is one of my favorite fantasy third basemen.
You need to text Lamb right now, L-A-M-B, to 72881 from your cell phone. Again, Lamb to 72881. That's your code word for this hour's $1,000 national signing bonus contest. Guys, we need to pick it up. We've given away $1,000 in a week and a half. The morning show's giving away 2,000, and Dukes and Bell's not giving away anything. You guys aren't texting enough. I'm putting it on you, 72881, right now to Lamb. It's not Binder. I don't know if you guys heard this yesterday. Carl goes, today's code word is Binder, B-I-N-D-E-R. And Mike Bell goes, you mean binder?
Was he confusing you with Bender?
That's where they started to get. Maybe you were on a Bender, but no, Lamb is this hour's code word. Lamb to 72881. Mark, we'll pull that for the week in review. Binder. It was in the 2 o'clock hour, so probably like 2:10, 2:15, somewhere in there.
All right, Falcons fans, here's what's up. Andy Lavitre's going nowhere. We have 80% of our offensive line back. If they decide to go with Schweitzer, then 100% of it is back. So we don't get Michael Bennett, and you see Marcus Johnson. Oh, by the way, Marcus Johnson, I got his bio here, 6'1", 204, entering his third year. He's a Texas product and a high school kid from Texas, has barely played at all for Philadelphia. I don't know, maybe John Schneider in Seattle, through the draft process, saw something they like in Marcus Johnson, or maybe he's just a throw-in to make money work or whatever.
I think it is, and that's a scenario that we just don't want Michael Bennett anymore. Bye-bye. See you later. And Philadelphia was happy to scarf him up. Some other Falcons news yesterday. Andy Lavitre.
That's what I'm talking about. Silver linings.
Restructures the deal. There was no money announced yet. We'll try to dig into it and find out more. But Andy Lavitre, it was announced shortly after the Michael Bennett scenario played out that Andy Lavitre had been restructured. I have challenged myself to a homework assignment, Rick. I am going to predict the Falcons offseason from this point on. I'm going to try to do some math. And it'll probably all be wrong, but I'm going to try to figure out who I think they're going to sign and who they're going to draft, and we'll try to get that done between now and this time tomorrow.
The whole Jimmy Graham thing becomes a little bit more interesting to me now that Michael Bennett has gone to Philly. Maybe we do get a former Seahawk, and maybe that's who it is. Let's talk a little college basketball here, John, and
let's
what's up. UGA kept their season alive yesterday with a blowout win over Mizzou. Ayton had a big game. Who did I say?
Not Ayton. Ayton did not have a big game.
Who's the kid for Georgia? Mayton?
Yeah.
Is it Mayton?
Yeah.
It tells you how much Georgia I've watched this year. Anyway, let's advance the story. 3 o'clock today, SEC Network, UGA against Missouri, who is welcoming back Michael Porter Jr., who's played 2 minutes this year, had back surgery. He's healed up nicely, and he is back. He is a certifiable, no doubt about it, top five pick in the NBA draft. And I am super excited to watch this game. But this is the most Georgia thing ever.
Absolutely.
Again, to have a death game, and Michael Porter Jr. is coming back. And by the way, Missouri's a good team. And this game is in St. Louis, which is very close to Columbia,
basically a
Missouri.
Home
it's a home
Missouri.
Game for Mizzou. So have fun, UGA.
Here's the thing. It's almost the most Georgia thing ever when it comes to the basketball program. You won a game that, I'll be honest, most of your fans probably wanted you to lose yesterday. Because if you lose yesterday, Mark Fox might be unemployed right now. Here's what will probably happen. Remember the coach when they had the tornado game? He was about to be fired. Georgia goes on and wins the SEC title, gets to the NCAA tournament, and they keep him around another year. If that happens to Mark Fox, Mark Owens will pull out what little bit of hair he has left on the top of his head. Hey, elsewhere, and what's up? The Rockets red hot.
Look, man, 17 in a row, and they went impressively again last night. I watched a lot of that game. They were playing the Bucks. In Milwaukee, and they really handled them the whole time. And Milwaukee's a very good team. Mm-hmm. So, John, I tweeted out last night kind of a twofold hot take. If Houston can somehow beat Golden State, and I don't think they will, they're winning the championship. Whatever the East sends to the finals is going to lose to the Warriors or the Rockets. I'm convinced about that. LeBron, Cleveland, This Houston team is mighty. They are a title team, but they're going to go up against one of the greatest teams of all time and lose.
Yeah, they're not going to beat Golden State, but they are red hot. Remember when the Heat made this run, what was it, 27 in a row they got to, and how exciting that was, and people said it wore them down because they started caring about games that didn't matter late in the year. Difference is the Rockets are fighting for the number one seed, and I think for them to have a chance, they need to get the number one seed. Coach Bud, it's been an exciting week for the Atlanta Hawks, a loss and then a win. We'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
Yeah, we got our guy, one of the best coaches in the NBA, Mike Budenholzer. He is on the WadeFor.com hotline. Coach, good morning. How you living?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. We're doing great. So, Coach, the other night, watching the game, and I'm like, whoa, our guys are hanging at Toronto. They have the best home record in the NBA. And really, to me, Coach, just, you know, from my seat, the starters did a pretty good job of going toe-to-toe, but once your bench came on and their excellent bench came on, I felt like that was the difference in the game. Is that kind of your view on it too?
Yeah, you know, but the interesting thing, I think, you know, we said after the game is with three quarters, starters and benches and everybody, you know, really played well, and we're right there competing with, you know, one of the best teams in the East on their home court. And the fourth quarter, you know, both the starters and our bench, you know, couldn't match with particularly their bench. Their bench has been amazing this year. Their bench has been amazing against us. You know, so the fourth quarter, just we weren't good enough, and they were great. And I think a lot of that fourth quarter was their bench. So, yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree. But, you know, I thought for three quarters, everybody was, you know, it's just kind of a great basketball game, great NBA game. And we couldn't stay with them in the fourth quarter.
Coach, I want to go back to Friday night. Really exhilarating game right here at Phillips Arena against Golden State. What was drawn up for the final play when Iguodala comes up with the steal? Was it something for Kent, who had had a great game that night, to try to get to the cup or kick out for a three?
Yeah, no, more of a catch and shoot three. They played him well coming off the screen to the corner, and so he wasn't free, didn't have a clean look there, and so he kind of pulled it out. And, you know, maybe, you know, secondary is to, you know, attack and get to the basket and, you know, either finish or kick it out for another three. But really the primary look was kind of a catch and shoot corner three that Iguodala defended well. And then Kent pulled it out, I think, was, you know, going to try and attack the basket, attract the paint. And Iguodala was able to knock the ball away from him. So, you know, good defense. You know, we probably need to execute better, screen a little better, maybe set up better. But, you know, they give them credit. They defended it well. We didn't get a great look. That's in the game. Sometimes that's how it is.
We interview Coach Bud Thursday, 10:20 every week, and we're happy to have him here on the Midday Show with Rick and John on the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, obviously, you know how good Golden State is. You didn't need to see them up close and personal on Friday to have that knowledge. But as you sit here and as we sit here with Houston on a 17-game winning streak, do you feel like it's game on to win the West between GSW and Houston, or do you still feel like the Warriors are the class of the West?
No, I mean, I feel like Houston's proving to, you know, the league, and more importantly, probably just proving to themselves that, you know, they feel like they're in that. They can play with anybody, and that includes Golden State, and they're on a mission. You know, I think they've been pretty outspoken about it. They've been, you know, outspoken about how confident they are and how much they believe in themselves, and that's a huge hurdle, you know. And I think, you know, in the psychological, that Houston hasn't lost to Golden State with Chris Paul and James Harden in this team, and you know, I think there's no scarring. There's no they haven't been beat, you know, once or twice or three times in the playoffs, and they just can't get it done there. They think they can do it, and lots of times that's half the battle.
We've got Coach Bud with us here on the WadeForward.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, since we spoke last week, Torian Prince has just continued to play some good ball, shooting the three with a lot of confidence. Where is he getting the confidence from? Is it just more minutes and more opportunities?
Well, I think he's had stretches all year where he shot it well, and, you know, his overall percentage is pretty high, but it's no doubt we've kind of put an emphasis on it, you know, over the last however many games, you know, maybe coming out of the break and, you know, see if he can really go to another level as a three-point shooter and just a decision maker on really being aggressive and letting it fly when he's open. And it's not necessarily new, but, you know, I would say, you know, sometimes coming out of the All-Star break, you're able to kind of refocus and, you know, re-message and just, you know, get some one-on-one time with players or with your team and try and get some things moving in the positive direction. And, you know, I think Torian's done a great job with that.
Coach, I perceive Dwayne Dedmon as a piece for the future. Whether he's, you know, a starting center and maybe the fifth best option of the five or, you know, a really, really elite backup center. I like his game, man. He brings a lot defensively. He moves the ball offensively, makes shots. Are you kind of viewing him, at least as the coach of this team, as like, I want Dwayne Dedmon to be around here for a while?
Well, he's been great for us all year. You know, I think he's really been great to work with. He's shown leadership in the locker room. You know, and I think he's just got a knack on both ends of the court. You know, you want to have guys that can impact the game on both ends of the court. And the way he's evolved as a shooter and fits, you know, our spacing. And so there's a lot of things that we love about Dwayne. And, you know, having him here is something that, you know, strongly considered. And, you know, I think he's proven to not just us, but to the whole league that, you know, he's a really valuable player that can do a lot of things.
Coach, have you learned a lot about these guys, guys that could be here for the future, the Bazemores, the Princes, all the players that we've been talking about through this stretch with the way that they've fought in games, you know, to play the Golden States close, to beat Indiana, to play Toronto close? Have you learned a lot about these guys going forward and what their mental makeup is?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it's, you know, I don't want to say it's easy when you're winning and, you know, the team's having success and all those things. And I think your character and your, you know, who you truly are is tested in adversity and tested when maybe you're not winning as much as, you know, everybody would like. And to see how, you know, Dave and Torian and Dennis and really the whole group has responded, you know, in a situation that's not easy. This is, you know, these guys are competitive. They're professional athletes. But their character and, you know, who they are as people has just shown through, you know, like you said, with the nights like against Golden State, the other night against Toronto for three quarters, beating Indiana, the way our guys play unselfishly, how hard they play every night. But I think everybody sees it and feels it and is proud of them, and I feel the same way. And those are the kind of guys you want to move forward with or you want to keep around.
Coach, last week, John asked you if there was a little bit of a revenge angle for the Indiana game when y'all got him here at Phillips Arena after, of course, losing at Indiana. And, you get him again on Friday. I mean, it's like three games and, I don't know, eight or nine games. It's like almost like a mini playoff series here. But do you anticipate Indiana being pretty ticked off about especially that first half performance down here in Phillips? Do you expect them to be really loaded for Bear tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'm sure they will be. I'm sure that, you know, that whole psychological battle that, you know, it's kind of been, you know, swung back and forth in these two games since the break. You know, we'll see if we can fight that and, you know, be ready to go. I think our guys, you know, 2 days without a game, and I think they'll be good. And you know, I think we obviously know each other well, and, you know, we'll be looking forward to it.
Coach, one thing you guys have not done is sit players through the duration of this stretch. We just saw where Chicago is getting reprimanded and fined for sitting some of their starters. Do you think that's a move that the league needs to take?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that, you know, I think there's no reason why, you know, all the players on your roster can't be improving and getting better. And, you know, as you evaluate, there's different ways to do it, but just to, you know, sit healthy guys for extended stretches, you know, a game or two here, there, back-to-backs, or, you know, there's circumstances that warrant, but to sit somebody for, you know, six games or for 20 games or something like that, that's healthy. I don't think that's what's good for the league, and I think for those players, I don't think it's what's best for them and their continued development and their continued growth.
Coach Budenholzer joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Coach, if you can't respond to this, like, I'm not trying to set you up for a fine, man. I'm just trying to sort of tap into your expertise as a former Spur and just get your sort of helicopter view of the Kawhi Leonard situation. Again, if you can't answer this, just we'll keep it moving.
Yeah, no, I don't know anything more than anybody else in a helicopter, so I can't get in trouble, and I'm not avoiding the question either.
No, I got you. I'm just curious. I heard his soundbite yesterday. He addressed the media, you know, finally. It had a very lukewarm response, in my opinion, to the do you want to finish your career as a Spur question. He said, yeah, for sure. Just like that. So anyway, Coach, we'll move on. John's got one more for you.
I will quickly weigh in. That's pretty much how he answers questions. So I wouldn't read too much of it. That I can tell you after being there for his first, you know, whatever, two or three years. That's kind of how it goes. So, but who knows? You know, he's a great player. It's a great organization. You know, I'm sure they'll be working towards a good things.
Coach, real quick, we always love to ask a lifestyle question of you. And coming up next, we're going to talk about shows on television that need to be rebooted. What were some of your favorite shows growing up that you think would be good if they brought them back today?
Oh man, I don't know if you can bring, but can you bring back Cheers? Like that would be sweet. I don't know who, you know, Woody Harrelson come back behind the bar. I love Cheers. I'm trying to think of what else. Like, that's probably be my vote.
Did you ever watch Golden Girls? Was that one of your shows?
I watched Golden Girls. I Not a lot, but yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Betty something or something like that. Yeah.
I don't know. Coach, I can't help you. I can't help you on the names of the characters, man. These guys have been all talking about Golden Girls this morning. I'm like, Golden what? Anyway, so you made John's day even yes. say that you watched that show one time.
Absolutely. Coach, we know you got to get to practice. We know you got to run. But thanks for taking the time, as always,
Coach.
On a Thursday.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Coach Putt on the way forward. And Doc.
Yes!
Hey, Mark, we've traveled down the road and back again. We'll take a break. We'll
you
come back.
You guys are insane.
Beavis and Butthead debuted 25 years ago today.
Yeah.
They rebooted it. Today. It didn't do quite as well the second time around. But what television show would you reboot if you could? You guys can sound off 404-741-0929. It's our phone number and our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We slice of life it up next on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Can you, like, shut
I'm the game.
Fire, 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 fire.
Cool.
I love it, man. Slice of Life with Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. It is brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. Beavis and Butthead, one of my favorite joints back in the day, for sure.
Oh, yeah. The problem is when they did the reboot, I was in my mid-30s, and the jokes weren't quite as funny as they were when I was 18 or 19. Like, when they came out, I had just graduated high school, and this was one of the must-watch. Like, I had an annal of just VHS tapes that I had hit record and would go back and rewatch Beavis and Butthead over.
You had a what?
What is it called?
What'd you say? It was A-N-A-L. What did you say?
Annal.
Oh, and all.
Yes. I did not say what you were thinking.
I thought you said the other word.
No, you guys are dirty minded.
You could just say you said and all.
Yeah, I had a lot.
I had a lot of VHS.
Yeah, I did a lot of VHS.
I'm trying to get all sophisticated on this show. Yeah. You roll, Tiger.
So the easy question today for the Slice of Life, what TV show would you reboot if you could? I actually like Coach Bud's idea. Now, you can't have Ted Danson.
He stole my idea.
And Kirsten, really?
He stole
Cheers
it.
Cheers was one of your favorite shows.
No question about it.
It was Cheers, an awesome show.
Cheers is a show that I would love to see rebooted. I didn't have time to come up with, like, Cliff Clavin, Norm, Woody, Sam. I forget Shelley Long was the actress.
Diane.
Yep. And then you.
I didn't like her at all.
She was kind of annoying, but I guess you needed that with all the knuckleheads around there.
Yeah, Kirstie Alley was much better when she came in.
She was. And by the way, that was when Kirstie Alley was pretty hot. Rhea Perlman, what was her name on the show? The kind of sassy, snarky bar wench or whatever you.
And that's actually a really good description of
that's
who
what she
was.
Yeah. And then you got Coach.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to come up with actors for those. I'll give you mine real quick. I want to see the Twilight Zone rebooted. You guys
really?
Remember how cool the Twilight?
I never liked it.
Why are you
that?
Shooting me a little
Are you
like
watching
that?
A Black Mirror on Netflix?
I don't. What's
do you
Black
have,
Mirror?
Do you have Netflix?
Maybe I don't. Maybe, yeah.
You know what?
I
think he doesn't know how to get to Netflix. Yeah.
We have it. I just haven't figured out the technology.
For the rest of you, Black Mirror is a it's Twilight Zone-esque.
Who's the narrator of that?
It's not in the same vein. It's not, you know, imagine a time in a space conundrum. No, there's nobody narrating it. It's more of a updated version of just standalone shows with the same group of actors. Really, yeah, I think you would like Black Mirror if you get into it.
I
it
like,
can get a little deep. It can get a little heavy at times.
Dude, I like that trippy stuff, man.
Carla was the bar wench.
Carla, there you go. I would have Alec Baldwin be the narrator of The Twilight Zone. Three's Company is the number one show that I would reboot. John, there would be no bras allowed, and it would be 63 degrees in the studio where they're shooting.
And you wouldn't have Joyce DeWitt as one of the main characters on the show?
No, I've got the characters.
Okay.
I actually figured this out. So Olivia Munn, who I'm yes. a big fan of, would be Janet. Okay, the black-haired girl. So Olivia Munn would be the black-haired girl. Kate Upton would be Chrissy.
Uh-huh.
And she would wear nothing but bikini tops.
And where's Lindsay Pellis?
Okay, if Kate Upton isn't available, then Lindsay Pellis would be the Chrissy role.
Which, by the way, you guys missed yesterday when we were at Academy Sports and Outdoors. One of the Sirius channels had Lindsay Pellis in studio. And I literally slide the picture of Lindsay Pellis dancing in the studio to Rick, and he just gives me the middle finger and slides my phone back.
You can't distract me, John. You can't distract me with those boobies, although it was very distracting. Will Ferrell would play Jack Tripper on my reboot of Three's
okay.
Company.
If it was Will Ferrell 10 years ago, I might go with you. I think Will Ferrell today would just irritate me.
See, that's you, though. I'm still a huge Will Ferrell fan. He opens his mouth and I laugh. He's just one of those guys for me. So that's it. Twilight Zone, Three's Company, and Cheers. Those are the shows I would reboot.
Yeah. Three's Company would be awesome. I think you could have a lot of fun with that. There's so many different ways you can go with actresses and an actor and some funny folks along with that. The Twilight Zone, I was never into. That's just me, and again, to each his own with that. And then Cheers, I was actually a huge fan of Cheers. Cheers
was
awesome.
If you don't like Cheers, you're not an American.
You know what made Cheers so good? Look at the set.
Mm-hmm.
One set piece. The bar, maybe the office.
And that's it.
Maybe the pool room.
Did they ever show the pool room?
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Yeah, but not like the first couple of years.
No.
It was always just disappeared to the back.
And at the very end, when Kirstie Alley was dating the British guy, they'd go upstairs to the restaurant. But 90% of the set, how good was that writing that you can make a show last that long with one set
piece? I mean, think of all the great actors and actresses that were on that show. I mean, you're talking about, the guy that plays Fraser Crane, Ted Danson.
I forgot him in the list of...
Kelsey Grammer.
You have Ted Danson, who was really good, as you talked about, Shelley Long.
Woody Harrelson's my
dude.
Woody Harrelson. Love that guy.
Kirstie Alley. I mean, that is kind of a who's
who. John Ratzenberger. Little fact, John Ratzenberger has a role in every single Pixar movie ever made.
Really?
Yep. You'll hear him in your role. Abdominal Snowman in Monsters, Inc. He was in Toy Story. He was...
Was he a pig?
He was the pig. That's right. He was the pig in Toy
Good
Story.
Good call. Good pull.
Yeah, no idea.
All right, what are you rebooting, John?
All right, there's a few things I would reboot. First and foremost, the greatest sitcom of all time, Married with Children. You give me Ed O'Neill, Kelly Bundy, Bud Bundy... Katie Siegel was the mom. Yeah. You had the idiot neighbors. I mean, that was...
Ted McGinley.
Yeah, he was the second neighbor. Remember, the original husband was not Ted McGinley. This is one of the great shows of all time. They pushed the envelope right to the edge of what network TV would allow.
Who would you reboot it with?
I have no idea. I haven't even thought about who. I want Ed O'Neill still as the dad. Nobody else can play Al Bundy. He made it acceptable to sit on your living room couch with your hand in your pants.
In your drawers. Yeah, yeah.
And have a super hot daughter who had an IQ of like 11.
Didn't she go on to be Bleep McGee in Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, I think
she was the same girl.
Applegate.
Yeah. She was also in Bad Moms. She was the mean
she's
PTA teacher.
She's done well
teacher.
For herself. And then
she's a great character in that movie.
The brother, David Faustino, who you can see on YouTube.
Uh-oh.
He hadn't done much.
Yeah, I was going to say, he didn't do much.
He hadn't done anything.
He was Bud Bon Jovi for a while.
Well, he did make a cameo in the Entourage movie.
He did.
Yeah.
Now, I would do that one. Here's a couple other ones I would reboot. And I don't know how you'd reboot The Wire, because The Wire is one of the great cable shows of all time.
No, John, I haven't seen it.
Of course you haven't.
I'm just jumping right to it. I knew you were going to ask. Nope, I haven't seen it.
5 years. Matter of fact, Oren had a picture with Omar from The Wire yesterday up on Twitter. I was pretty excited about that.
Omar who?
His name was Omar on The Wire. I don't even know his real name, the actor's name.
Oh, he's not talking about our guy Omar Dorsey, right?
No. Okay. The guy's character's name was Omar in The Wire. He had a scar on his face, and he killed all the drug dealers. Pretty awesome guy. I would also reboot A Different World. A Different World came on after The Cosby Show. Fantastic show about college.
What was A Different World? What was that?
You remember A Different World?
Spinoff from The Cosby Show.
Yeah, Jasmine Guy.
Oh, hell no. I have no clue
Jada
about
Pinkett
that.
Was on there. What was it, Kadeem, I can't think of his
Kadeem
name.
Hardison.
Kadeem Hardison. It's a great show.
That is the most random show to reboot ever.
Oh, Different World was great. And finally, In Living Color. Reboot In Living Color, one of the great sketch comedy shows of all time.
I'm with you there, John.
You've never watched A Different World?
I thought you were talking about Different Strokes. I got confused. Mr. Willis?
Yeah, see, Different Strokes, there was a different level of racism allowed on TV back then. It was pretty inadvertent what they did with Different Strokes. I don't need that show back. I don't.
I'm just saying, I don't remember all the. I don't remember all the racial undertones. I was watching a TV show.
Dad and All in the Family, they just kind
of, oh,
here
All
it
in
is.
The Family was gross.
You mean a rich white guy adopts two inner-city black kids? What's wrong with that?
Nothing at all.
Wasn't it a come-up?
It was.
Was it a come-up?
Again, in the 70s
I'm just saying,
and the 80s.
Was it not a come-up for the kids?
The 70s and the 80s, more things were allowed on TV that were just sort of acceptable today.
Oh, my God. All in the Family, they should take the tapes of that show and
burn
them.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
Mark Owens, what are you rebooting?
Found a list of shows that they're actually about to reboot or currently getting the reboot. We all know Roseanne will be back later on this month. Magnum P.I. is getting a reboot.
That'd be awesome.
Do you know who the actor is?
No. I'm going to assume that they're going to do Magnum PI like they did MacGyver. Whole new cast, probably some young, hip, you know, British millennial playing the scene. But if he doesn't
have a man bun,
here's my question.
If he doesn't have the mustache or Hawaiian shirt, I'm out.
You got to have the Ferrari 308 GT. If you don't have that, forget about it. All right, look here. How come you can't find an American guy that can play an American actor? I don't understand it. All these guys that are playing American roles are not American. They're English. They're Australian.
Oh, my God. They're good actors, though.
You've also got, we talked about it, Martin's on its way back, Mad About You coming back, Charmed is coming back, DuckTales just made its return. Vin Diesel is behind the reboot of another one that I don't know how I feel about this one because they tried to redo it in a movie form and it was very bad.
Oh, yeah. Miami Vice.
Oh, Miami Vice.
Yeah, but is it going to be Fast and the Furious Miami Vice?
It might be.
I just want to bring back the pastel suits.
I'll watch. Miami Vice was awesome back in the day.
Have you gone back to watch any episodes recently?
No, is it timeless?
Oh, we love those.
It's so
It's not
campy.
Timeless.
No, it's not so timeless, campy. But, you know, you just go back to your youth.
Yeah.
It's on, like, some channel. I don't know. I'll catch Amy watching it at night. It's like some Spanish channel that plays the reruns.
With subtitles?
No. It's in English, but it's like one of those. It's a channel that I wouldn't have gone to. So.
That's awesome.
Preacher Man.
Real quick, the two that I would. Coach. I'd love to see a modern spin on Coach. You still got to have Craig T. Nelson in there. And you can't do it because there's no shows out there right now that just have a man's man in there anymore. Tell me you remember Lee Majors as
the Fall Guy. Oh, the Fall Guy.
What a big fan of the Fall Guy.
The Bionic Man. I watched the heck out of that.
$6 million Man. Heather Thomas in this show was fantastic. Man.
Heather Thomas was
for the win.
John, I'm with you. I did not watch this show.
How come not?
Preacher Man. I don't want to steal your thunder because a show just popped
into
my brain.
Oh, we've got a bunch. I mean, I was going to say Miami Vice because that's like one of my favorite all-time movies or shows. So love that show.
It's an awesome show.
D and H. Is that anybody thinking about rebooting that? Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah.
They did the movie, and then they did a sequel to the movie.
And it was.
And so that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
We haven't talked
about the only thing about that was, what's her name? Jessica Simpson in a bikini because she worked out.
Yeah, that was money. We have not talked about the Golden Girls. Okay, we need to talk
Dude,
about
Golden
the Golden Girls.
Girls was awesome.
Because
don't disrespect the Golden Girls.
Well, I'm not going to disrespect the Golden Girls, you TV snobs. All I'm going to tell you is I probably saw one or two episodes of that, and I'm like, it's a show about octogenarian women. I'm out. It's just not my thing.
It's one of the funniest shows ever.
By the way, this is coming back, too.
Really? I don't know how I feel about that.
What show is this?
Greatest American Hero with a female
boo.
In the lead role.
Yeah, boo. I'm out.
Take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get through some of these texts that you guys got on there. Also, Darius Geis was asked what? We're going to break down what he was asked and sort of the life of the NFL and the life of the regular world. Where does that question lie? On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
And we are back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rick Hamla, John Michaels, and we are going to carry over our slice of life a little bit here. Then we're going to dive into the asinine questions that Darius Geis was asked during his interviews at the NFL Scouting Combine last week. Of course, this is the theme song to Night Court. The best thing about Night is the slice of life, by the way, was TV shows that we want to reboot. The best thing about Night Court was John Larroquette. John Larroquette's a heck of an actor, man. I've enjoyed him over the years. But I'm with you, John. This was not one of my jams. I did not watch Night Court.
You know the best thing about Night Court? It came on after my bedtime. So typically Night Court would come on, I'd hear that campy music, and my mom would go, 9 o'clock. Because I think they came on at 9 or 9:30.
Hey, if he thinks that's campy, hit him with the Barney Miller theme song.
Barney Miller. There's a certain line for me where I was too young to appreciate the shows. Like, a lot of people love MASH. I would watch MASH, and I go, I don't get it.
But here's the difference between you and I. As a military brat, we only got certain American TV shows overseas. Mm-hmm. MASH was one of them, so we love MASH. The A-Team was another
one. The A-Team was awesome.
Love the A-Team. Dukes of Hazzard, and God forbid we watch Dallas.
Dallas.
We watched Dallas because it was, if you want to watch American TV, that's all you got. So
for a second here. Now, I grew up sans cable. It's not like my house was the lap of luxury where we had 40 or 50 channels. I had ABC, NBC, a CBS, and then we had a Channel 29, which eventually turned into a Fox station. That was it. My Thursday night was to sit down to watch TV because it was Cosby Show. It was Different World. And then I think Cheers came off on after that, and then maybe Night Court. Well, by the time Night Court was on, I was done with that show, and I'd go to bed. But we didn't exactly have a ton of choices when it came to TV either. But MASH, it just didn't do it for me. And again, I was a kid when MASH came out. Dallas was horrible. And they tried to remake Dallas. No thanks with that. Now, there was one that I liked as I got a little bit older, and I wish they'd bring back. Did you guys love Blind Date, where they'd have, like, five people go on a blind, or they'd have one person go on a blind date, and they'd have, like, all the pop-up captions that would come on while they were on the blind date?
I don't remember that. I'll say this, though. That's the best TV show theme song ever. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. That's legitimate jazz we just heard right there.
Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah, that takes me to, like, Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan. It's dope.
Paul's asked me if I ever watched Room Raiders on MTV.
What's Room Raiders?
They would go into, like, the college dorm or something. And
there would basically be, like, one guy, and there would be, like, three girls in a van. And the guy would go to each place and try to figure out what type of girl
That's right.
it was and then pick her for a date.
Just a quick squirrel. Can you explain to me how Deshaun Hand did not get invited to the Combine of Alabama?
No, I have no idea.
Do you have any? Did you know that Deshaun Hand was not invited to the Combine?
I didn't know that.
He's one of the cats on ESPN or SEC Network has him 90th, the 90th prospect in the draft. Don't they invite like 300 guys to the Combine?
They do.
How the hell was Deshaun Hand not at the Combine? All right, back to our story.
A couple of good texts coming in here, and then we're going to get to the Darius Geis of it all, and we'll take some calls on this, 404-741-0929. Somebody said, welcome back, Cotter. That was a classic.
Good show.
How about
Horseshack?
Family Matters?
No, thumbs down.
I could do. How about Home Improvement? That was pretty
fun. I did
funny.
Enjoy Home Improvement. Because you the Home Improvement girls, because you had Pamela Anderson was the original.
Forgot about the Home Improvement
Somebody
girls.
Said, could you reboot Entourage? Entourage is too recent to reboot it. The movie was awesome to me. There were a lot of people that said the movie sucked. So I don't think you could reboot that yet. You weren't an Entourage guy?
Not really. Every show that I watched, I liked. I'm just not a religious TV watcher, dude. There's all kinds of awesome TV that I have not watched.
Ari Gold may be the greatest character in the history of television.
I'm a big fan of Jeremy Piven.
You just go back and go on YouTube and find the best of Ari Gold season 1, season 2, season 5. It's great.
Can I ruin your Hollywood celebrity crush?
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Piven is a jerk.
Really?
I had the opportunity to interview him a couple of times at old stations. He is an arrogant, conceited, smug, elite Hollywood jerk.
So he's Ari Gold.
He just was too good to do radio. One of those guys that, I look down on radio. I need y'all to go promote my movie, but I guess I'll come do a radio interview with you guys because I'm that good of a... He walked out. What? Just smug.
Well, Darius Geis did not walk out of the NFL Combine, and there was a question asked to him that potentially somebody could have got up and walked away. Really want to get into this. I think the morning show had a really good debate. Hugh Douglas, obviously coming from the side of a guy that's played in the NFL, that's been through the NFL Combine. He's been through some of these questions, all that different stuff. Obviously, Wendy and Daryl and Bo and John did not play in the NFL, and they came at it from a different perspective. But I wanted to get into it with you, Rick, and discuss what was asked to Darius Geis. Is this inappropriate? Do we need to take away the whole frat boy persona or locker room persona when it comes to asking these guys questions? Or are these job-appropriate questions for the National Football League? Darius Geis was asked, point blank, while at the Combine, do you like men? Do you like men?
So was the questioner being funny? Because
I don't
like,
think so.
if you're messing with a dude, so do you like men? I mean, it's just kind of funny. It's if it's sarcastic, if it's a legitimate question. Look, and so tell him the other asinine question that they asked Darius, and then I'll tell you what I think.
The other part was even worse. It talks about his mother. It basically said, was his mother a prostitute, was one of the questions that they asked. Was your mother a prostitute?
Did your mother sell herself? I think that was
same thing. That's the exact wording, but in layman's terms, so is she a prostitute?
So what are they trying to do? They're trying to shock the kid and play I shouldn't say kid. They're trying to shock this NFL prospect and see how he reacts. Okay, how about this? How about you say, Darius, you know, it's 3rd and 3. You're down 4, 17 seconds left. What play are you calling to get the first down?
Right.
On the spot.
Like, sure.
Call it right now. Okay, or
Spider 2, why banana?
I've heard a lot of coaches talk, and the questions that they like to ask, and scouts and talent evaluators, they like to give the player a situation that he was in, and if he remembers it. Right? Because
absolutely.
For some reason, like, I don't totally
remember
understand
John
this.
Gruden did that to Cam Newton when he sat him down for the quarterback camp.
Yes.
Hey, what's the play call here? And Cam Newton goes, Beyonce. Wait, there's got to be more than that. No, that was the play call. But he did that to kind of put him on the spot. I'd rather you ask questions like that, Rick.
So to me, this is all about putting a kid on the spot and seeing how he reacts. Mm-hmm. But to ask him, do you like men? It's out of bounds. And again, to Hugh Douglas's credit, okay, he played in the league. And by the way, Hugh has told us stories about the locker room environment in Philadelphia when he and Hollis Thomas were up there, and it was Animal House times 100. It just, they were roughnecks, and they were doing their thing, and that was the environment, okay? And so now that environment, the way it was for Hugh and Hollis and that Eagles team, has been watered down, okay, to a point over the last 10 to 15 years. But you can't apply corporate HR thinking to the NFL. Now, I don't agree with those questions. If I'm Darius Geis and you ask me, do you like men? I go, no. Here's a picture of my rock star Instagram girlfriend. Right. Does she look hot? Guess what? She's 10 times hotter than your wife. But I actually wouldn't say that because it's a job interview and I want a job. But yes, John, the questions are out of bounds.
I think they are out of bounds as well. And you start to wonder. And remember, Eli Apple dealt with the same thing. Remember, Falcons coach asked him, was he gay?
It was Marquand Manuel.
Yeah, Marquand Manuel, who's obviously gone on to big things here as our defensive coordinator. But you see these questions come out year after year. Des Bryant was asked a few years ago by Jeff Ireland, was his mother a prostitute? There has to be a line when it comes to, all right, I'm probing to see what kind of reaction I get to this guy, or that this question is just completely out of bounds. Somebody asked me if my mother's a prostitute. I'm probably going to get up and walk out to stop from doing something a lot further along than just telling them to blank off.
I don't understand what they're fishing for. Are they trying to see if you, like, stand up and punch the guy asking the question? Are they looking to see if you sort of grab your ball and go home? Mm-hmm. Are they looking to see if you ball up in the fetal position, stick your thumb in your mouth like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber and ask for your happy play? I just don't get it. I don't get what they're fishing for. I would put these prospects on the spot with game situational stuff because that's what matters. What are they testing them? Are they testing how thick their skin is for the Twitter assault that's going to meet them when they go to the NFL? I don't think that's what they're doing.
And here's in fairness to the locker room aspect. I was lucky enough to play college athletics, so there was a locker room aspect to what we did. What we did on the road and in the locker, it was kind of, this is our line. What happens here stays with us. We'll continue this conversation in just a second, but let's give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
record, record, R-E-C-O-R-D. You can press record on an old tape deck if you want to record the sound. Record is a word you'll text right now to 72881, R-E-C-O-R-D. That's our $1,000 national signing bonus contest. Word again, record, R-E-C-O-R-D to 72881. Come on, Rick, let's give away $1,000.
I encourage you all to record today's 3 o'clock game on SEC Network, UGA, Yonti Maton, and, of course, Michael Porter Jr. making his return for Mizzou. If I could watch one college basketball game today, that would be it. And by the way, the ACC tournament, oh my God. It starts at noon, John. Louisville, I forget who they're playing, but it's a killer game at noon. And there's 4 games tonight. Johnny Michaels, Hurricanes against the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah,
baby.
I got a feeling North Carolina's going to want a lot of revenge when it comes to that game after the 3-point buzzer beater from Quan Newton about a week ago.
Is your boy Bruce Bowen playing?
No, Bruce Brown will not be playing tonight.
Bruce Bowen.
Be awesome if we had Bruce Bowen.
Oh, my God, I'm
defense.
An idiot. Bruce Brown. No. He's not playing?
No, he may be back for the tournament, but he's not back for the ACC.
Can you beat Carolina without him?
We did a week ago
on
their home floor, why not? I don't think we
did. Y'all beat him at the Dean Dome?
Yeah, it was senior night.
Damn, that's a big game.
It is. Got us on the right side of the line.
I miss that. I miss that one.
Let's take a couple of calls on
this.
404-741-0929. We may carry this over into the next segment as well.
Do you like men?
As friends, yeah. You're my boys. I have a beautiful wife at home.
You like men?
Josh is
again,
in Rome.
If you're asking it sarcastically, I think it's hilarious. Again.
Josh, how you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good.
Look, I think it's a little bit too easy to dismiss this. When you look at all the stuff with the Colin Kaepernick issues and the you know, the protests, and we're not gonna sign players that are in the protest. This looks like a fishing expedition to me from these teams, and it's not BS. It's real deal. Like, I think they want to know. I think they legit want to know. I don't think it's one of those things that they're just poking to poke. I think that it's a poke as well as wanting to know the answer.
But
let me
ask you this, Josh. I get if you want to ask a protest question while you're in the combine, I think a GM is everywhere within his rights to ask that because it's a legit concern of something in the NFL. Asking a guy if his mother was a prostitute has nothing to do with the protest that happened. I think that's an out-of-bounds question.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm in total agreement. The whole line of questioning flies in the face of a fairness that we all expect, we should expect. I know it's a business, but there's a reason that those laws are there to protect you and I. Mm-hmm. Why are they not protecting these players from being potentially punished? It doesn't make sense to me. And I get the whole locker room thing, man. Like, I've been playing sports and following sports for a long time. It just doesn't feel like, we're giving them the same leeway that we have as the average person, because they make millions of bucks. Hey, it's fine. We can ask them, these out of bounds questions, and that doesn't seem right to me. I don't.
Josh, great take on that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I still think the locker room is separate from the interview questions. Once you get to the league and you're in the locker room, how many stories have we heard, good and bad? And you've seen the Jonathan Martin thing play out with bullying, and obviously that kid's got a lot of problems with the Instagram post that he had about a week ago threatening to shoot up people. There is a line where even the locker room's too far. But you're already hired and employed, and you're getting your money and everything. And a lot of times that's not coaches walking and asking. That's stone-busting between players who are going to battle with each other all the time.
Yeah, man. And in terms of Josh helped me sort of, get clarity on my, what are they fishing for? That question that I had. Well, like, let's not be naive here. And through Josh, thank you for the phone call. Like, NFL teams want to know every single thing about these players, mm-hmm. every single thing. That's why these guys are running around in underwear. They want to see if you've got flab, if you've got great muscle tone. Okay. They literally want to analyze you from your toenails to your hair on the top of your head. So to ask, do you like men? Mm-hmm. Maybe they legitimately want to know, are you gay or straight?
Right.
I mean, so maybe they're fishing for that. And it's just as simple as that. And there's no reading between the lines of it. And to ask if your mom sold herself, mm-hmm. It's an out-of-bounds question. But if we go down that path, what they're fishing for is, what kind of background did you have? What kind of life did you live coming up? And then, they make extrapolations from that. I'm not saying it's right, but I bet that actually happens.
Well, we're going to move. We're going to do some college hoops next. I want to continue this, Rick. A lot of guys want to sound off on the NFL, the questions that were asked to Darius guys. And it seems like once a year we're having this same conversation. Where is it too far? I'll tell you what they should have asked to Darius guys if you wanted to do some family background next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Binder. B-I-N-D-E-R. All right.
Binder?
Excuse me. Binder.
That's a little blooper from Dukes and Bell yesterday. I had a back-to-back blooper all on the same blooper yesterday from our new friends at Academy Sports and Outdoors in Kennesaw. We had a blast up there yesterday, and we are going to carry over the conversation here about Darius Geis and the asinine questions that he was asked about, do you like men? Did your mom sell herself? And we're taking phone calls on this. I chuckle because it's like, it's so outlandish and so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, really? In 2018, with all that's going on in society and people getting in trouble and lawsuits and people making stuff up and people talking about legitimate stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're really asking Darius Geis if he likes men. It's it's not out of left field, dude. It's from Mars.
Yeah, it's
weird.
It's ridiculous that that's the line of questioning. Here's what you ask, and you brought up a very interesting point, Rick, before the break. You said, hey, maybe they're trying to find out the background of your family. And let's be real. If the NFL wants to find out, public records are pretty easy to obtain now. You pay some of these instant checkmate places, and they'll give you all your phone numbers and all your history and anything you've been arrested for or anything like that. If you want to pay the $39.99, and I'm sure the NFL has many people that do background checks, and they check family welfare and all this other different stuff. Instead of asking a man, did his mom sell himself, why don't you just do something a little more, I don't know, a little more open-ended? How was your family life growing up?
There you go.
Then you let the player either A, be honest with the answer, which is a very easy avenue for them to go to, or B, they sugarcoat and bounce around. And then if you want to get a little deeper, if just say Darius Geis, and I don't know if his mother had any nefarious background at all, but you ask him the open-ended question, he answers one way. And then you could say, well, we have record of this. What do you have to say about that? Then you actually lead him into the conversation you want to have instead of just coming out openly and say, did your mom sell herself? That's ridiculous.
I tell you what, whoever asked, and we don't know, Darius Geis, you know, probably the fraternity that is the NFL, Darius probably wants to keep that in-house in terms of who said it and who, you know, which team that play, that human being represents. But, John, I believe it's going to come out because it came out about Marquand Manuel asking the out-of-bounds question that he asked, and he got reprimanded about it. And so I would anticipate with, you know how zealous the media is today. I want it. I want it now. No, I don't want it now. I want it yesterday. So there are going to be people like Darius. How many times do you think Darius Geis is going to be asked, yo, Darius, so who actually asked you those questions?
Until he
what
gives up the answer.
What team were they from? He's going to be asked that time and time again. So I do believe that we're going to find out who said it and which team he's from.
Let's take a call or two, 404-741-0929. Guys can also sound off on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Do you feel this line of questioning is out of bounds? Do you think the locker room of the NFL should apply to the interview room of the NFL? A couple of things we'll examine here. Let's go to Lucky in the ATL. Lucky, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There they are, the great twosome.
My guy, Lucky, what's up, man?
Lucky.
How you guys been, man? Good to hear your voices again.
Good to hear your voice.
Where have you been hiding? You've been on the golf course for the last 5 years?
Buddy, yeah, since my retirement, I now play on the Golf Channel Am Tour, and I'm loving it, and I'm winning tournaments, and it's a lot of fun, and I got married.
Are you serious?
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, Lucky, are you messing with us?
No, no, he's serious.
Is he that good of a golfer?
Totally, I'm playing on the Golf Channel Am Tour.
Dude.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm impressed. Lucky, I'm impressed. I'm officially impressed. Thanks, so your short game's dialed in right now, isn't it?
It is dialed in. It really is. It's a lot of fun.
What do you got on the NFL, Luck?
Well, you know, Jeff Ireland asked the questions of Dez Bryant 10 years ago. This is a 10-year anniversary of that. And then you have the questions of Marquand Manuel and Eli Apple. And in 10 years, the NFL hasn't learned anything. They've learned absolutely nothing. These questions are out of bounds. These questions are illegal, they're illegitimate, and they shouldn't be asked. They should be asking intelligent questions like you just posed before you so graciously let me on the air. And that is, ask the question that leads the individual to answer the questions that you want answered. Don't ask these offensive questions, did your mom prostitute herself? Is your dad a crackhead? That's out of line. It's out of bounds. And what makes it really bad is we have a double standard for the NFL. And Rick said it in his comments earlier, in that you have on one hand, well, it's the NFL, so you know, it's kind of dirty and grimy, and it's a guy's game, and it's a locker room type of thing. But then in the same breath, we also say, yeah, but it's a professional league, and I wouldn't say those things. You know, I've always gone into a professional interview for a job, and I've always had three or four questions to ask of the interviewer. Mm-hmm. So they know that I'm also professional, but I also want to know how I'm going to fit in this organization, what my role is going to be. Am I going to be a good fit for you, and are you going to be a good fit for me? So if, for instance, if Eli Apple had asked the head of the Indianapolis Colts, is it okay to drink on the job? Well, what kind of question is that, Eli? Well, the owner of the company, of the club does it. Why can't I? Nobody would want to hire him. So there's a double standard there. You can't ask these questions like this. The NFL should know better. And it should be stopped. But they're not going to stop it because the NFL is supporting it. Roger Goodell could stop this tomorrow if he wanted to, but they choose not to.
Well, Lucky, thank you so much for the call. And to that point, Lucky, you said the NFL has learned nothing, right? 10 years after the stupid question they asked Dez Bryant. But Lucky, and I'm sure Lucky would agree with this, the NFL doesn't want to learn.
Nope, they
don't. They don't. They're stuck in their fraternity, their old boy network, used to the way things have always been. Think about it. There's a lot of dudes in power positions in the NFL who are older,
mm-hmm.
and they're used to a different time and place, okay? They're not used to 2018 and Twitter and all the stuff that we have going on in society today. A lot of them are stuck in the 80s and 90s. And so that's just the fact. It doesn't make it right, but it's the reality of it. And I don't think the NFL wants to learn anything. I think the NFL, they're probably laughing internally about these questions. He has to be like, man, that's hilarious. Aha. You know, slapping knees and all that kind of stuff. That's probably right. What they're doing.
Yeah, and it's a scenario where the old boy mentality probably needs to change. And the NFL does need to police itself more. Now, I asked a question earlier. Should the locker room mentality carry over to the interview room? Because let's be real. What happens in an NFL locker room, the only people that actually know are the people that have been in the NFL locker room. Arch will know. Hugh Douglas knows. Randy McMichael knows. We hear stories. But guess what? When media walks in there, they button up a little bit. They go, all right, we're not gonna do anything that gets such and such on a radio station to now talk about what we were doing in here. We're not going to talk about the same things that we were talking about when it was just us. Even when coaches walk in, it buttons up a little bit, because guess what? That's your coach. That's your boss. He's the one that is making sure you are taught the right way, trained the right way, and have the job that you have. So there's even a different mentality when you're in that locker room as opposed to when anybody else is around. I don't think you can take that and apply it to an interview process to try to hire somebody.
I agree with you. So, John, let me ask you a question. The NFL scouts and talent evaluators want the players to be professional
mm-hmm.
in the interview process,
yep.
right? Is it professional to ask Darius Geist, does he like men?
No.
Is that professional?
I don't think so.
But professional, not meaning you're getting paid for. Professional meaning you're handling yourself with elegance and grace and class. And you are you're a professional. That's what you do. I think of Mike Conti, okay? Like, he's no frills. There's not a lot of extra.
Nope.
He's just a professional.
Absolutely.
He does his job at a high level. So if the talent evaluators want the players who are trying to get these gigs to be professional, then the interviewers should be more professional.
Here's the thing, Rick. We work in a location where we're allowed to let our personality shine through, whether it's while we're on the air or back in the bullpen, where, let's be real, some of the funniest stuff that goes on at this station happens when we're off the air. When I interviewed at 92.9 The Game, you know what I showed up in? A suit and tie. And I was never asked anything off color. It was just, you know, what's your background? How long have you been in radio? What do you think you can add to this station? What do you think? Who do you think? What shows do you like at this station? Stuff along those lines. Even after all of that, when they hired me, I was allowed to walk in here and be me. There was no more, all right, let me wear khakis and a golf shirt. I was allowed to do whatever the heck I want, but never did they go out of bounds with the questions that they asked.
No doubt, dude. No doubt. But the NFL is a different entity, man. And we have to sort of bring the other side of this to the air, the Hugh Douglas side, the ball player side. They have been asked these questions. They know that these questions are coming. They're almost desensitized to these questions. It's a part of NFL culture. It just is. It doesn't make it right. But we have to respect that fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We're not in it. Many of us want to be in it.
Oh, I would have loved to be in it.
We grew up wanting to be baseball players, NFL players. Well, Hugh Douglas did it
mm-hmm.
at a high level and made millions at it. So we have to appreciate that other side of this, too, that this is and Hugh Douglas didn't say that he was a huge fan of the questions, but he wasn't necessarily mad about it either.
Right.
Because that is the part of NFL culture that has existed in Hugh Douglas's era, in the Tom Landry era, in the frickin' George Halas era. It doesn't matter how far you go back.
Here's the thing. You got to imagine that all the guys that went to the combine anticipated getting asked a stupid question. They all know that there was a possibility of something like this coming. But the point of that still doesn't make it right. Darius Geist probably knew he was going to be asked something stupid along the lines. And I considered the questions that were asked to him stupid. But it still doesn't make it okay that those are the questions that are being asked.
But it is I don't see it ending. I think next year at this time, post-combine, we're going to hear a player come out and say, you know, I was asked if, I don't even want to complete the sentence.
It'll be something stupid along those same lines.
This ain't going anywhere because, as I said, the NFL doesn't want to learn.
No,
they don't want to improve. They're just going to wash, rinse, repeat.
We will tell you about our Vision Computers Twitter poll coming up here in just a second. Our musical choices for tomorrow. EDM's a choice.
I like this.
And it's too short.
It's funky.
Life is too short.
I like this a lot.
That's the name of the album as well. Check that out. You'd like it. We'll take a break. We come back, though. College football cheat sheet next. Who are the top three Heisman contenders in the Big Ten? We'll talk about that on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Yes, it is. And it's brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. It is Heisman Week in our college football cheat sheet, the Big Ten under the microscope today. And I want to tell you what's coming up here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Top of the hour, Falcons talk. Lavitre restructured contract. Michael Bennett is an Eagle. And we'll also talk about Austin Hooper a little bit, too, needing to have some thicker skin. NFL bounce right around the corner as well. But, John, let's talk Heisman in the Big Ten, man. And, boy, it was hard to find Pac-12 and Big 12, I thought. It was hard to find Heisman guys. And
I thought it was ACC and Big 12. Pac-12 was pretty easy.
Pardon me. It was ACC and Big 12. A lot of guys going pro from those two conferences in terms of big-time offensive talent. But now we get the Big 10. And, John, two of my three were, to me, no-brainers. And the third option here, to me, is up for major debate.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think two of them are no-brainers, and then the third one is tough, although I have a leader for the third one. Before we get to that, our Vision Computers Twitter poll is up, at Rick and John 929. We do our musical vote for our Friday music, our Vision Computers Twitter poll, of course, brought to you by Vision Computers, where average hold time for support is less than 15 seconds. Mark Owens has it up there today. Mark, what is our Vision Computers Twitter poll?
By request, and we do take requests. So got this tweet. Sorry, can't give you a shout-out because I forgot who you were. But I do remember the tweet, and somebody said, can we get a little 90s hip-hop in there? So
okay.
One of your options this week, a little 90s hip-hop. Actually, that's winning right now at 55% of the votes coming in.
I'm not mad at that.
Rick and John 929. This one also a request coming in by one Tricky Ricky with 20% of the votes right now. How about some thrash metal?
Makes me so happy.
Makes me so angry.
Why does this music make me so happy? This is Megalodon by Mastodon. Thank you for playing this, by the way.
Your taxes done!
What else do we have on there?
Thrash metal at 20%. Speaking of, how about another one? A request by one Johnny Michaels. How about some slow jams?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little R&B for you.
Make it last.
Yeah. That was not doing too well either. 9% of the votes.
Make it last forever.
Yeah. Shout out to our voters.
All right, what's the last one?
Fourth place for that one. And in fourth place.
It's less than 9%.
Oh, I'm sorry. In third place. No, your slow jams is actually, for the first time ever, it's not dead last. Uh-huh. This one's in third place. House Trance EDM. 16% of the votes right now.
I am so pleased that thrash metal is dominating slow jams right now. I'm so happy about
that. Rick and John 929.
Well, it's because all the people that are listening to slow jams are too busy doing other activities right now. Their thumbs are sort of tied up. They can't vote as of yet.
Oh, that's what's going on. That's making babies?
Maybe. Or sleeping, one or the other. It's usually the natural progression. You do one and then the other one happens.
Nine months later.
All right, let's do the Big Ten top three Heisman contenders. I think we can give out the two that are easy. It's Jonathan Taylor of Wisconsin, as much as you hate to say it.
And the ultra-selfish Trace McSorley, who just can't hand it to Saquon Barkley on a read option play. Got to keep it every time.
Well, now he doesn't have to worry about handing it to Saquon Barkley anymore. He can just keep it himself and run around. Because Saquon Barkley will be the first or the second pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. By the way, McSorley's going to have a gigantic season.
Monster year.
Gigantic. We do a college football fantasy league. John runs it. Trace McSorley might be the number one pick in college fantasy football. Number one. He's going to have amazing statistics.
Boy, he
does lose guys. Deshaun Hamilton, bye-bye. Gesicki, bye-bye. Saquon, bye-bye.
Our fantasy draft's going to be really interesting because last year it was the race for Lamar Jackson, and then you knew that.
And Flowers of UCF. Pardon me, of USF.
Quentin Flowers put up huge numbers.
Huge numbers.
Do we add Central Florida in this year? With Mackenzie Milton?
You know what I was thinking about? Maybe we just go the whole American Conference. and just add a conference. Maybe. We do the Power Five, and John sort of arbitrarily picked five teams last year.
Yeah, I had Boise State,
Boise
Houston,
was a bust.
South Florida. Boise.
Mm.
There were some guys that put up, their receiver put up some numbers.
They had one wide receiver.
Yeah. And their QB, not the original one that they had, the second one, put up some numbers as well.
John, you run your league how you want. All I know is I'm bloodthirsty to win it.
All I know is I'm downgrading the points receivers score because they scored way too many points a year ago. Who do you have for your third Heisman candidate?
So, again, we're talking Heisman here for the Big Ten and our college football cheat sheet. And, look, whether you talk to Feinbaum, Herb Street, me, John, some guy named Mike at a bar stool down in Little Five Points, they will say off the top of their dome, Jonathan Taylor and Trace McSorley. Mm-hmm. So let's just quickly analyze that. Who has the best chance between Taylor and McSorley of actually being a legitimate Heisman candidate? Just pick one of those
two.
I
think it's Taylor. The way Wisconsin runs their offense, it's run, 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 play action with Hornibrook. Taylor's a guy that already had buzz. He had a really good Orange Bowl, and I know Hornibrook outsigned him a little bit, but he went north of 100 yards against Miami's defense. I think Taylor walks in as probably a top 10 candidate. Not that McSorley's not. I also think that Wisconsin on that side of the division could be another 10 or 11 win team this year. I think Penn State takes a hair of a step back.
That remains to be seen. I'm going to say McSorley, I think, has a better chance of being invited to New York than Jonathan Taylor. So the last 2 years, okay, McSorley has thrown for 3,600 yards mm-hmm. and then 3,500 yards, 29 touchdowns, and then last year 28 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and then 10. So he's been remarkably consistent. And, John, back in 2016, he ran for 7 TDs. Last year, he vultured many from Saquon Barkley, had 11 rushing touchdowns. He had 11 plus 28, 39 total TDs. Trace McSorley, I would put him above Jonathan Taylor. So we do have a disagreement there. Who's third on your list?
Third will be Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback hopeful at Ohio State. I think anybody that QBs that offense, knowing what Urban Meyer likes to do, knowing how good Ohio State will be, as they always are, will put himself in the mix. He's a better passer than JT Barrett. And remember, last year, after JT Barrett had the monster game, who was it they had the huge comeback against?
Are you thinking Penn State?
Well, yeah, the Penn State game when JT Barrett went crazy in
like
the fourth
16
quarter.
16 for 16 in the fourth quarter.
And all of a sudden
like
he jumps up to like number one or two on the Heisman list.
He had an out-of-body experience that day.
Dwayne Haskins is a better passer than him. But my point being, it only took one quarter for JT Barrett to overcome a lackluster year in the eyes of Heisman voters to be back towards the top. I think Haskins has a good chance to be there.
John, think about this. If that fourth quarter doesn't happen, or if JT Barrett misses one of those throws,
Penn State is in the college football playoff. And Alabama's not.
Penn State is in the college football playoff.
Well, hold on. Penn State's in the Big Ten championship game then against Wisconsin. They assume they win that game.
They would have beat them. I'll take that to my grave. And that's not Wisconsin hate. Penn State was better than Wisconsin last year. All right, so third on my list, you're going to disagree with this, is my guy Brian Lewerke. Of Michigan State. And it's a reach, okay? But you got to come up with three. And what John was saying about how just the signal caller for Ohio State is just sort of ushered into at least the conversation, I agree with that. But is it Hoskins or Haskins?
Haskins.
Haskins.
I think it's Haskins.
He hasn't won the job yet.
No.
You know, they got a couple other guys that he's got to beat out, and he probably will. But I'm going to go with a guy who already has the job, Brian Lewerke. He is entering his redshirt junior year, so his fourth year in college. He was really good last year for Michigan State under the radar, threw for almost 2,800 yards, 20 TDs, 7 interceptions, ran for 5 more touchdowns and 564 yards. He's a good dual threat QB, and they have a bevy of wide receivers. LJ Scott is coming back for his senior year. I think that Michigan State offense is going to be really good. They won 10 games last year, John. Not a lot of people realize that. Michigan State was a double-digit win team. I think they're going to be a double-digit win team again this year. And, I mean, he's on the very, 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 very fringe of Heisman, Brian Lewerke.
I'm not mad at you at all, although every time I close my eyes and I look at Michigan State, I see 17. Like, that's what they normally score point-wise. I know they've been better, but that's just close your eyes, first thought of Michigan State. Don't yell at me, Deshaun, when you come into the studio today because you got a national title basketball team. But I just don't see them consistently churning out numbers. You know what Ohio State's going to do. The problem is, I don't know if Haskins is going to be the starting quarterback at Ohio State.
Tell me, of these four guys, who do you like the best? And this is sort of the also-rans of the top three Heisman contenders in the Big Ten. Clayton Thorson of Northwestern,
yeah.
Nathan Stanley of Iowa,
ugh.
Nick Bosa of Ohio State.
Not bad.
Who a lot of people think is better than Joey, and J.K. Dobbins of Ohio State.
Yeah, I think Dobbins has a chance if he's the number one the whole time.
They got Mike Weber, though.
That's the biggest thing, is he's going to split carries. Out of all of them, it's either Dobbins or Bosa.
I think Stanley's going to have a very big year for Iowa. I like Nathan Stanley. He can really spin it.
Again, when I close my eyes and I picture Iowa, I see 11.
How do you not see 55?
That's the only time they've...
should see 55. That's what they put up on Ohio State.
What did you call JT Barrett's fourth quarter? An out-of-body experience?
Out-of-body experience.
Iowa's whole team had an out-of-body experience.
No question.
They will never score 55 again.
They had Josh Jackson, the cornerback from Iowa. He is a stud.
Yeah.
He's going to be a major playmaker in the NFL.
Hey, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Talk some Falcons. Michael Bennett not coming. Andy Levitre restructured, and I'll give you how much the Falcons have saved. Some numbers are out there. Not as much as we hoped for on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Dukes and Bell, afternoons 2 to 7.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.